name is Amelia, and I'm joined by my wrestle pal, Elle, we got a special guest.
Oh my gosh, so excited. This is a very fun episode. We have Hannah Harkness, writer, extraordinaire, comedian, awesome person. First guest to ask us our pronouns, so we love that. writer for Kate's Bunker, New Queer Order podcast, all over the place. Comedy, we love it. We love to see it.
Yes.
So, we are so excited to chat with you today. Thanks for making the time.
Yes.
Time zones are crazy, so we appreciate it. You said you're in the middle of writing your Christmas special. So again, thanks for the time.
But it's no problem. I mean, I'm always in the middle of writing it because I kind of, the cool thing about having a completely fictional fake podcast is that I can write things out of order based on who I'm recording. So I'm just like writing everybody that I have scheduled for Tuesday is what I'm writing right now. So I'm like, you have to, because nobody, it's not like a movies, nobody's off book. So I can get it to them 2 days beforehand, but you know.
That's awesome.
Kind of irresponsible, you know.
This is not a, you're talking to the least professional people around, so
honestly, and I'm even less professional than she is, so you're fine.
I'm just a Virgo. It's fine.
You know,
I would kill for literally any Virgo in my chart. My roommate is an astrologer, and I say that to her all the time. I'm like, is there a way to like submit an appeal?
Some Virgo, a Capricorn, something. One of those two placements is what you need to really.
I need like either of those things. Like I've started just hanging out with a Capricorn a lot, and he's like editing some clips with my of my podcast, and I'm like, you're a godsend. I wish I could just do this, but you're a godsend.
I have a Capricorn moon. I have a Capricorn moon that may balance out the Leo, where like the Leo's like, ooh, shiny, and you know the Cap's like, get back. We got to finish this one.
I bring her back.
And then I have a Virgo, in my
life. Yeah, I have like the most confusing, the Scorpio sun, Taurus moon, Pisces ascendant, which I think Scorpio with Pisces ascendant shouldn't be allowed. That's just confusing.
I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine. I have a Pisces ascending as well.
I thought I was weird.
No, like this is like Earth astrologers look at my chart, they're just like, really? Like, I had an astrologer who like primarily speaks Spanish looked at it, and she was like, Scorpio Pisces rising. I was like, really?
Sorry.
Well, the Pisces, we'll get along great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got the Aries moon, Cancer risings. That's why I'm very sensitive, sad bitch. Organized sad bitch. That's just what I am here.
Sad bitch party.
Okay, well, Hannah, like, tell us about yourself. Tell us about you. Tell us.
Yes.
Who are you?
Okay. Well, I am a person that was doing stand-up comedy for a very long time. And then I got to a point where I was kind of like, this is like pre-pandemic 2019, where I was kind of like looking for something else, but I was also just kind of doing stand-up and like, just for, it was like on year like 10 or 11 at that point. And I was just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm sort of stagnating here. During that time, I had gone to some indie wrestling stuff before that. Like, I had gone to some like little like Chikara shows and like Kaiju and stuff like that out because I'm from Philly originally. So I used to go to like smaller shows in Philly. But I never watched wrestling on TV until the year that like the big Becky Lynch turn thing happened. Was
the man.
Same time that I was living across the street from a bar that was screening Raw and SmackDown. Started hanging out at this bar as I'd like recently moved to Brooklyn, and I was just like, oh, this seems kind of cool. I didn't really know that much about when, like, I used to watch like a little bit of Shimmer, so I was like, oh, I wonder if there's like women's wrestling here like Shimmer. And then somebody at the bar started explaining to me like, oh, you know, right now this first Becky Lynch, she just like had a big like, oh, she turned evil and all this cool stuff's happening. So I started following her And I just got like, that was when I was like, no, I'm a wrestling fan now. And then somehow like my trajectory of fandom went from there to AEW to mm-hmm. now I mostly followed like queer indie promotions. Like mm-hmm. I'm like a big fan of queer indie promotions, and that's like where all my fandom is. But at the time I was just like, this is like cool history. Like I've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, she was doing stuff that like, you know, that nobody had like busted in and been the man before or anything like that. So yeah. So I got really excited and into it. And as soon as I started being vocal about it, I get hit up by this podcast, WrestleSplania, that was retooling. That was like, hey, want to be like an extra like host on this? And I was like, okay. And then I also got hit up by a wrestling promotion in Philly, if you can call it that, called Awful Wrestling, that is it stands for Art Wrestling Federation Urban League. Awful. Okay. And it's like half comedians and like half performance artists that are kind of like, we are going to make a wrestling promotion. And like, eventually a couple of actual wrestlers started doing it, but mostly it was just like comics fucking around. And they knew that I had, they knew I had a martial arts background. So they like hit me up and were like, are you interested in wrestling for this? And I'm like, I think I could probably figure it out. So I started like back ass words wrestling as a character, Junkyard Cat.
That's cute.
I did that for all twice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're catful.
Yeah. Oh, you said you have Junkyard Cat on the West Coast, right? Or
wait, no.
Oh wow.
Yeah, no, I thought I said that.
No, we're pro cats.
I follow what's up?
I'd say we're very pro cat.
Pro cat. Okay, yeah. Because I talked to somebody that is like, I follow Hood Slam.
Yeah.
And somebody from Hood Slam told me that there was a Junkyard Cat out there too, but it was like not even close to similar to what I was doing. Like, I'm doing like stupid mask thing. Like my thing was like it was like kind of a cross between Ultimate Warrior, and then it was also just like Lucha mask and like me acting insane because like I just made it this like whole anti-gentrification thing where people keep trying to build on my junkyard. And I was like defending my territory, and I didn't really know what wrestling was. And I was like eating rugs off the ground and stuff. That whole adventure where I just was like figuring out how to play a wrestling kind of like, I agreed to this thing, and then I was like, I guess I'm just like choreographing fighting or whatever, but I don't really know how to wrestle. And then I had like a friend of mine, Zach, was installing a heavy bag in my apartment. I hired him off of my friend's Facebook page because she had posted openly like, hey, I need a handyman. And I was just like, I'm not a handyman, but I'm also looking for somebody to install this thing in my house. I'm piggybacking. Zach responds and he's like, yeah, I'll install a heavy bag in your house. And then I look at his profile and he's like, he is a wrestler that also wrestles as a cat lucha character. This whole journey for me getting into wrestling and writing with wrestling and working with wrestlers has just been a bunch of insanely specific stars aligning, like just like, oh yeah, there's a cat lucha wrestler installing a heavy bag in my house that knows where we can train in a ring for $10. There's a ring up in the Bronx that's like you sign a death waiver and you can like just go use it for $10. So I was like, yeah, sure. This person's gonna train me. And then a couple of comics I knew that were wrestling fans, because there's just like a lot of stand-up comedians that are into pro wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple of comics I knew that were wrestling fans that had trained a little bit, they were like, oh, I want to come up and train too. And I was just like, all right, yeah.
My gosh.
And then we ended up like, they had a show for a while pre-pandemic, that was like a stand-up comedy show. And then there was one audience member that was like, hey, if you guys have a no ring match in the basement, I'll totally come back for that. And it's funny because that audience member didn't come back, but they just started having no ring matches in the basement. Showcase for that show. So that was the third time I wrestled. I wrestled twice for Awful. And then the third time I ever wrestled was no ring matches in the basement. So fast forward, the pandemic hits, and we are all relegated to playing RPGs against each other on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we get this idea to write a movie, like the main guy that like runs those shows and everything, Fennell, who now, well, no, I can't kayfabe him. I'm going to hint that his wrestler has a mask, but I'm not pointing as much as I want to plug him. But yeah, my friend, who is Vanel in life and in the movie version of all of this, he came up with the idea to do a mockumentary about creating the greatest pandemic cinematic wrestling match of all time, because they had that period where like everyone's just scrambling to do cinematic matches.
Yeah.
So we're, yeah. we want to do a Spinal Tap type thing.
Nice.
Where
like, I saw the trailer.
We're like, yeah, we're like making a cinematic match and we're trying to get wrestlers involved, but none of them want to talk to us. And we got a lot of real, like the stars of it were CPA and MB Young. And they shredded. CPA played our boyfriend, like he was dating the at the time he was Nick Staff. And he, like, his character was that he was playing himself, but like a 30 Rock version of himself that was dating.
Oh, my God.
So he was just like the wrestling promotion's boyfriend, and he was just walking around being supportive and like calling us a girl and like rubbing our shoulders and stuff. And then MV was playing the cinematic wrestling match consultant who just was super art house movie guy, shooting down all of our ideas. And we managed to just guerrilla produce this thing over the summer of 2020. Like, we just got all this shit together, and there's like all these segments that are like sketch segments that we had like wrestlers send in and everything, and IWTV accepted it as a series. So now we have it on IWTV. Like, that's, we're going so to cool. actually string it all together as a feature, but then we got the episodic thing happen on IWTV.
Yeah.
So like that brought me up to the Kate's Bunker era of me. There's like some bleed over, but the Kate's Bunker era happened because Felicia Rose, People's Tramp, I don't know if she had, she's a really awesome manager, and she also went viral for holding up a sign that said "Facebook me Finn" at like Raw.
Unlocked a memory, yes.
yeah, exactly. Now, the Miss Felicia Rose, wonderful lady, part of the New Queer Order Podcast Network founding team, asked me if I wanted a show. And I had already had an idea for a fake conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really love like Welcome to Night Vale and stuff that's like fake radio, and like I always wanted to do like a War of the Worlds type thing where I had a podcast, but it was just completely fake and completely scripted. All the guests are fake, all the interpersonal drama is fake. I'm fighting with podcasts that don't exist. So I was like, all right, well, will your network let me pitch something completely insane that's going to require a whole lot of editing, and I'm just going to have to like find all these voice actors for it? And it went through. So basically the way I've been, it's just funny because this project has nothing to do with wrestling, but I'm trying to prove a point about how good wrestlers are at acting, and how talented they are, and how they don't get enough respect for that.
Right.
And every wrestler that has been working on this project has like knocked it completely out of the park. And I just want to keep doing that, because I feel like it would be like really, you know, Voice Actors Guild and Screen Actors Guild are like two different things, but at the same time I'm really aggro about how TV wrestlers should be SAG and they're not, because they're screen actors, and they could totally use union stuff and insurance, and they're on TV every week acting yes. and destroying them. They should be in SAG. Like, there's no reason for them to yeah. not, other than SAG, you know, just being snobby.
Yeah.
yeah.
Rude. You're not wrong though. Like the range is, I mean, and comedy. Oh my timing. Oh God. Mm-hmm. They're just,
I mean, it's just, wrestling's all forget. Timing. Yeah, exactly. So wrestling's all timing. So comedy is mostly timing, you know, like there's some people that I, you know, think about like booking a podcast and I'm like, no, they actually wouldn't be as funny as if I like booked a wrestler. And the wrestlers that I have been booking also have just been having a lot of fun doing something that's not their character.
Right.
Like yeah. the two biggest wrestlers I have in the project are Nyla Rose, who mm-hmm. I love so much, and oh Shoot D, aka Pineapple Pete. And
oh, yeah.
neither of them play their own characters at no. all. Like no. Nyla plays a sleep paralysis demon yes. named Xena.
yes. What I listened to.
That's the one you listen. Yeah, it's a
and
good
it
one.
Killed me.
It's a
it
really,
killed me.
Yeah, it's a really, really good one. And I managed to get that because like I got first because again, this is just like the trajectory of me booking people on these projects is so weirdly specific. Shug tweeted out that he wanted to do some kind of wrestling reality dating show. And my production team was like, please get on a conference call with us. And like, and this is the Brooklyn Battle Comedy people from IWTV, not Cage Bunker. Cage Bunker is just like me in a room. We all get on a conference call with him. And at that point, I had already written this episode, or at least like outlined this episode, where I had a character that was like an IT manager in Atlanta that was responsible for like canceling 50% of racist people, but was also mostly just using an IT department as a front to sell friendship bracelets. This whole show's weird as hell. I'm gunning for like an Adult Swim cartoon right now, yeah. or something like yeah. that. This, but for now, we're just
at the right podcast. This is what yeah. we like.
Yeah. And I was on the call with him and he was just like, hey guys, yeah, sorry. I'm in the car. I'm coming back from my IT job. And I'm like, wait, yo, are you in Georgia? He's like, yeah, I live in Georgia. I'm like, after this meeting, can I talk to you about voice acting on a project? Because, if I can get somebody who's like actually an IT manager in Georgia,
right?
And also you,
that's like, awesome.
That would be phenomenal. And then it was after I finished that episode, because I'd been trying to cast the sleep paralysis demon and I had like a bunch of different ideas. And then I just had a random like thunderbolt of inspiration. I just messaged Shug. I was like, do you think Nyla would be a sleep paralysis demon? He texted me back in all caps, like, send her a message. I will. I was like, yeah. So moral of this story is you miss 100% of the acting casting requests that you don't take.
Like, right. That's so awesome.
Yeah. I love yeah. that.
But yeah, like so both cool. Hugh and Nyla did voices, like they don't sound like themselves at all. And they no, had so much fun. No. It was just the best. Like,
that's so yeah. cool.
I love that. No, Nyla sounds nothing like Nyla. And it was killing me. I'm 3 million years old. I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
trying to get ready this morning and I was hysterics drinking yeah. my coffee. Like, it's so Xena. And you're like, warrior princess. I'm like, yes, this yes. is everything. That's how I knew this interview would go well, this brand of comedy.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
So sure. yeah, you said you did stand-up and things. Who are like, let's get cheesy and be like, you're like comedy, or where did your love for comedy come from?
Well, Eddie Izzard, first off, if you want to talk about like who I watched and thought that I was like, oh, I could do stand-up, it would be like people like weird people like Eddie Izzard, mm-hmm. Dylan Morin. And you know, later on I'd like watch like Margaret Cho and stuff, mm-hmm. like, and a couple other people like that. But I think that like the person that made me feel like that I could do stand up was Eddie Izzard, because Eddie Izzard, her stuff is so weird and irreverent, and it's not just like, because you know, if you watch people like your Amy Schumer's or Sarah Silverman's, like they're funny, but to me it's like they're talking about stuff that I don't think about that much. Mm-hmm. And it kind of deadlocks, sometimes it deadlocks into a lot of like dating this, that, the other stuff about their families. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is funny. And I just like, I never want to like shit on other comedians, especially other women, because there's too few of us for us to be like, and there's some people like one time Eliza Schlesinger went on some rant. She's like, oh well, I, you know, most women only talk about sex, and I, you know, I do jokes about World War II. And then she just got absolutely dragged by women comedians from everywhere. And I'm like, I never want to be that person.
No.
But time, I'm like, I want to do dumb comedy about like robots and stuff.
There's room.
The one that was just like full force weird and
absurd. Really,
yeah.
Love it.
It's like wrestling. There's different, it's like a different genre. Absurd.
It's not like, somebody said this to me about anime once. They're like, it's not a genre, it's a medium of expression. It's like painting, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of paintings, and people are like, oh, I'm not really into anime. They're just like, well, what are you not into? Are you not into like Paranoia Agent, or are you not into like Sailor Moon? Because those are so violently different that like
different worlds.
Yeah, like different a little worlds. Girl that's into Sailor Moon. Who's Sailor Moon? But yeah, that would be a good, oh my god, that would be a great drag and or
somebody just she gifted you that. Somebody take that.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah. Or that's like the you know, like if they have a knockoff doll at the dollar store, it's like Sarah Mood. And she's like
Dollar Tree store. Or Dollar Tree.
A swap meet. Yeah. I found out Sarah Moon. Yeah.
Sarah Moon.
Oh, swap meet. I know. I'm like, oh, I know the West Coast reference because I went to the one in San Diego once.
Swap meets.
Yeah. Oh, I know what a swap meet is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Outside things, guys.
Outside things. Goodbye, squirrel. You know.
You can. Birds, lots of animals. I don't recommend that part, but you can.
No.
burn. but yeah, no, I love that. I love that you're bridging like, because comedy and wrestling are the same. It's very,
and
to be quick
drag
and everything.
Too.
And drag.
And drag. Everything.
That's kind of like the magical area of wrestling I've managed to fall into just in New York and just like following things. It's like, you know, I was watching AEW for a while, and then I became friends with MV Young because I saw him on Twitter and I was like, hold the phone. There's another person that moved from Pennsylvania to Brooklyn, is blonde, polyamorous, and pansexual, and is like into wrestling and like this, that. Yeah, I basically DM'd him. I'm
all
like, we have to be friends or we have to kill each other.
Like, there can only be one.
These are the two options.
Yeah, it's true. And then people still like, if we like, when I post pictures of us together, people are like, this is some weird twin set shit. I'm uncomfortable. Like, I became friends with him, and he start like gave me awareness of all these like queer promotions, like Joy, like Hood Slam, like Butch vs. Gore, which is going to Pro Wrestling Vibe now, Wrestlers Lab. And then he, of course, had the Polyam Cult parties, which are like some of the coolest experiences of my life. I managed to go to all of them, with the exception of the first one was like a backyard show that like in Brooklyn somewhere, there just wasn't enough space for me to be there. And it was still like pre-vax. So I didn't necessarily want to be there either. But then the other ones, I went to the two that were in the backyard of a trap house in Pittsburgh. And the first was magical because it was the first time I'd left my apartment in months, and then I just like jump in CPA's car to go to Pittsburgh. and then he had the other one at Take Pink 2 Training Academy, but it's just like, it's cool. Like, and then IWW now is starting to do like super queer focused like underground shows too, and it's cool. I feel like every stage of my like wrestling fandom journey I've been a part of something new, because I was like watching The Man, and then right as The Man thing was like kind of wrapping up is when AEW started on TV, so I was just like kind of there for like, ooh, this is exciting. It's like a whole new competitive promotion, and then for no like there was no specific reason I stopped following AEW. I just got distracted by the small cool things. And the small cool things are bringing so much drag in, and there's so many cool performers I'd never seen. They're doing some new stuff. The Paris is bumping is one of the coolest things I've ever been to in person. That was in Ridgefield Park.
You're so lucky.
So jealous.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. the
Hood Slam. I love Hood Slam so much.
Man.
Yeah.
The thing about Hood Slam was like, in line, all you're hearing about is like how insane it's going to be. And we're already getting high in line. You know, and they're like, just ready for more and be open to anything. And I had the time of my life. It was the best day.
I didn't get to go.
It murdered me.
I haven't went to Hood Slam. This is a conversation we had recently with MC AJ Kirsch, aka Bros of Joe Brody. And I'm still salty I didn't get to go. So hopefully 2022, they come back and I can go, because I'm sad.
you gotta go. It's an experience for sure. Like, people came from like Brooklyn. There was like the guy behind me was from Brooklyn, and he was like, I can't wait to see this. I've heard so much about it. It was so
I'm starting to get to the point where there's shows like that where I'm like, if Paris is Bumping has their next show in a state that's nowhere near me, I might still go.
Right.
MV's not gonna do the Polyam parties anymore. He's like opening his own training space in Pittsburgh, and he's also I think the Rise Championship just went to PB Smooth, but like for a second there he's running around with four belts. So
he's engaged and everything.
So he doesn't feel like he doesn't feel like producing.
I think it's really cool that, like, because I've been watching since 2000. Like, I watched as a kid with, like, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior and stuff. And I lost interest in the Attitude Era because it wasn't geared towards me. And then I came back in, like, the Ruthless Aggression time frame. And then I discovered, like, ECW that way. And, you know, so I kind of knew that there was just like a raunchiness. It didn't always have to be like so squeaky clean, because even the Attitude is still kind of squeaky, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like WWE's version of ECW.
Yeah.
And then they brought in ECW. So I've seen this like evolution of like, this is not for me, to like, we've always been here. Because, you know, like, there are queer wrestlers. There always have been queer wrestlers.
Yeah, there always have. And the cool thing about these like new queer shows coming up is that they're bringing back all these people that are like legends, that trailblazers and stuff that you get to see. Like when they had the Effie's Big Gay Brunch, they had the Cassandra Cup too.
Yes.
That was so cool. Yeah, so like Cassandra's like back, and then people like the Mariah Moreno. Mm-hmm. She was at Paris is Bumping, and it's just like so many people that are veterans that I'm starting to meet now, just because like I'm technically press. I don't know, like I'm in such a bizarre like I'm such
area.
A bizarre wrestling adjacent area that like my Twitter account gets a lot of traffic for me like fan-fucking about wrestling, and then I'm also just like I am like writing and casting wrestlers constantly, but I'm in a very hairy area between and actually
it's fun though.
It is fun. But I interact with a lot of people that are just like, oh, you know, I've been doing this for years, and people have always been telling me like, you're not marketable, queer wrestler, not like believable as being the person that wins. And then, you know, they're just like, it's really just been in the last 2 years that there's just been this big explosion, and like all of these like drag performers performing at wrestling shows, even though it seems like that would have been intuitive for that to be happening since the beginning. And it clearly just wasn't happening because of the amount of wrestling fandom that's just like super rednecky and homophobic. But it's cool to be a part of something new, you know, and it's like a part of something so unapologetic. Like one thing, like the one of my favorite promos of all time now is that Paro did one before the Effie's Big Gay Agenda with the No Peace Underground. He did a promo where he just was like screaming into the hammer. He's just like, I'm a homo and I'm gonna fucking murder you.
Yes.
I'm just like, this is phenomenal. And it's such a cool thing. You know, like after in the, him and Effie and Pero had a last daddy standing match. And it was such a violent death match. Like that whole show was violent. Like that whole show was violent as shit. Just glass everywhere. Like everybody was just like fucking beat, like nothing but like no ring death match kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like, and then at the end of it, because like Pero won the last daddy standing match, but then Effie grabs the mic and his pupils are like pinpricks covered in blood, and he's just like, yeah, we're winning, you know, and we're homos, we don't care. It's fucking death. And I'm just like, this is coolest display of LGBT rights.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's such a good time to be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some, it's not even a something for everyone. It's just like now there are places for you to feel safe. And mm-hmm. as violent as that show may be, you're in a safe place, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, like, and the, it's cool that the promotions like enjoy when the person comes out and they have like their name appear under them, they also have their pronouns appear under them. It's like, it's so cool. And then, you know, you can hear commentators, like there's definitely a learning curve. You can hear some commentators that are like getting used to the they, them pronouns and everything. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're even trying and the fact that they are now having to like reconsider intergender wrestling, because if you're non-binary, all wrestling's intergender wrestling.
Yeah, right.
So like, the fact that they're making these moves, and I get to be like present during a time when like a movement of art is changing, and it's like this level of like underground and outlawish, and like, and also like the literal outlaw thing. Like I love feeling like I'm getting away with something. I love things that feel punk, and the, shows that I've been to where they're just ducking the athletic commission, where they're just like in a backyard somewhere, and they're just not like, or and people keep trying to report them and they can't, or they get shut down at one place because like a homophobic person snitch to the athletic commission, mm-hmm. but then it happens anyway. I'm just like, I'm so glad I was here for this.
Magical.
It's exciting. It's cool. Like you never get to do, like it's so rare to see something new because everything's so recycled that I'm just excited to be a part of something new, you know?
Exactly. It's so cool. And it's kind of like it's sifting out, you know, who can adapt. Because there are the old dinosaurs who like just have the hardest time. They can't commentate without like commenting on a woman's body or something. You know, it's like you gotta adapt, dude.
To be fair, I will give him pronouns. Okay. He does say Sonny's, he does refer to Sonny as a pronoun.
Yeah, he does.
He respects the pronoun.
I'm mostly Joker. I don't cringy. Even hate him that much, but occasionally
it's
like
a little cringy. It's a little go home, grandpa. Go to
bed. Grandpa. Your bedtime.
Yeah. No, he's far from like the person that I would like. It's just like there's so many people that you can make the enemy in wrestling. There's no reason to make that person Jim Ross.
No, he's battling cancer. He's fine. Just he's selling erection pills. He's fine. He's alone. Mm-hmm. It's cringy. There's some bad commentators. That vanity search themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh God, I'm never vanity. I vanity searched like one time, and I found out that a bunch of like blogs like have been like pull my tweets and post them as part of the article, and it was like never anything bad, but I was still like, I'm unnerved by this, especially if it was like a couple of times it was for like an obituary for another comedian where they like pulled my tweet going like, I'm sad about my friend Chris dying, and they're just like, comedians mourn Chris Cotton, and they like pulled a bunch of tweets from people's accounts mourning, and they never said anything to me about that. And I was like, all right, if this is happening, I just don't want to know, because I'm bad at like vulnerable like that, like I like that wasn't even me, like me, you know, it wasn't talking shit that made me want to stop vanity searching. It's like, oh, somebody saw that I had feelings. We draw the line right there. No, don't post in Split Cider that I was sad.
Don't you dare.
It's the Scorpio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, and then that's why being a Scorpio with a Pisces rising is torture. Full circle is because like I want.
How
to,
does that even?
It doesn't.
It doesn't make.
How like, does you that? Know what I always explain it as? It's like, you know those gifs of like Melania Trump like smiling at somebody and then just like,
right.
That's Scorpio right. with Pisces rising in a nutshell. Oh. Is that you're like, yeah, you know everything's fine and deep. Painful. The darkness is. Like, oh God, no. But thankfully. Hilarious. I got the Taurus moon smack in the middle trying like, to bring the two relax. Sides together but it's a struggle.
Oh man, yeah, my sympathies.
I don't care what they say, astrology is real.
Pisces rising, I don't know if that has ever been allowed to happen to another person, but right. I keep trying to find someone. Like,
it would have been too much if MV was too. It would have been too much.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No, we're connected on CoStar. We have some stuff that's like overlap. Like our charts actually, like, cause we, this is so like, both of us are like witchier than hell. Like I actually had an astrologer on Discord. If I get, like, I'm showing my freak colors here. I had an astrologer on Discord compare our charts. Cause I was just like,
I need to know.
That's not a thing. Him and Brooke are soulmates and they should be together forever. She's like one of the best thing that's ever happened to him. But I'm like, why are we this level similar? The shapes of our charts are so similar.
Interesting.
It's crazy. Oh. Like he's not the same signs as me. A lot of, and like he has some of the same alignments, but the actual like physical shape, like we both have like kind of a circle with like a big box in it. And oh, wow. like one or two similar lines. And I'm just like, this is fucking crazy. Freaky. Like I mean, he's like the most crazy. Leo that ever Leo'd.
Yeah,
there's my Leo over here. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's not very Leo.
Those are great.
I like because I got a Cap Moon and a Pisces ascending. Mm-hmm. They're like, calm down.
If you came,
yeah, well, Leo with the Cap Moon gets shit done. That's a getting shit done. Yeah,
yeah. If she's like, hey, I need that done, but I'm like, all right, I'm on it. I'll do it.
I got you. back to your show, what we're supposed to talk about, the wrestles.
The wrestles
podcast. How did Kate's Bunker was something you always thought about like doing? It was kind of like a seed. Like how did it get started?
Besides the fact that I always wanted to do some kind of like fake radio type things, I love, there's a group in the 70s too, Fire Sign Theater, that I'm a big fan of. And then you know, Welcome to Night Vale and stuff like that. I had the idea when I was in lockdown in Brooklyn. So I was in a basement apartment for that whole thing.
Oh.
So I was like, maybe I could make like a fake YouTube conspiracy show since I'm like stuck down in this basement. but like, I kind of didn't have my druthers to, you know, produce something like that on my own. So it was one part that, and then when Felicia offered me the podcast, I was like, okay, I could totally convert this to a podcast form. It might even be easier this way.
Yeah.
But the original like main seed behind it actually was like a lot earlier, back in like 2015, I think, like 2014, 2015. I was booked on a show at Philly Improv Theater called Defend Your Thesis, which is a comedy show where they give comedians like randomly selected topics from Wikipedia, and they ask us to present a fake academic thesis on the topic. And then they have three comedians pretend to be like higher ed professors, and they like sit as like a panel on the stage, and they sit there and like ask you questions and talk to you about it, like you just give a dissertation, but it's all like bullshit. Yeah. So they gave me the San Juan National Forest, and I blamed the San Juan National Forest for the JFK assassination. Like, like I was just like, tree spirits killed JFK. Like that's what
only explanation.
Yeah, and I put unbelievable amount of effort into this for an unpaid gig. I went way too far.
Tons of research.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just did all these research, made all these stretch associations, was like bringing up stuff about Lee Harvey Oswald that was like completely irrelevant. And then so I presented this, and then this I basically recycled that script for the pilot. And the reason that I held on to this script for so long is, besides the fact I put so much effort into it, I needed a reminder that, like, in my mind, the funniest thing I've ever done on stage was not stand up. It wasn't like the comedy wrestling. It wasn't anything like that. It was this one moment during that Defend Your Thesis show where I'm like, all right, well, if trees didn't kill JFK, then explain this to me. Why is there a tree in every picture of the JFK assassination? And then I, like, brought up actual pictures of the JFK assassination on a PowerPoint, and I just start pointing at all of the trees, like, see, there's one right there, this one's triangulating, like, right there, this one's back here, and I'm just gone, and they're like actual assassination pictures. I'm like, no, look at the trees, look at the trees. This is like the
evidence. Everybody is right here.
Evidence is right in front of you, and I'm like, this is the funniest. Like, that, it's like, that's the kind of, like, a lot of comedians think that, like, edgy comedy is, like, racist stuff or, like, sexist stuff, and it's just like, oh, you're getting away with it. In my mind, edgy comedy is when you literally just come to the close to the edge of it not being okay, but don't go over it. Exactly the definition of edgy. Like, there are a couple of things with Kate's Bunker like that too, where I'm just like, you come right up to the edge, don't cross it, but there are people sitting there like, is she crossing a line? Because these are real assassination
pictures. Like, yeah,
but it's so that's real, because I'm just pointing to the trees that it's not. But, like, I yeah. love the adrenaline rush of, like, getting so close to the edge. So I've been saving
nearly upsetting someone, maybe a little bit.
Maybe, but, like, it has to be in a way where, like, if somebody comes up to me, like, I'm upset, I'm like, I'm gonna defend this joke to the death, because I don't believe it to be offensive. Like, usually I'm a gender studies major, I, like, really analyze whether or not things are offensive, but at the same time I still want to push buttons, because that's right. the sickness inside me. I want to push, but I won't like people to get
you know, you like to see a little squirming.
Yeah,
I think
yeah
it's comedy. I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah
for sure. It's exactly. like, you know, yeah. So yeah, I saved that script for years and was like, I want to adapt this into something else. And I was thinking about adapting that into being the YouTube conspiracy show. And then when Felicia offered me this show, I was just like, oh, I'm good. I'm like, this is what the pilot is. I definitely need to change it, because I needed to, like, work in the characters of my ex-wife. I haven't, like, completely explained the plot of the show on here yet. Yeah, like, basically yeah, the plot is that me and my character is Kate, who is a basement Facebook conspiracy theory nerd, like, gross comic book nerd that just, like, eats Cheetos and drinks Mountain Dew, and, like, kind of, she, like, the character basis for Kate is something that's very familiar to people who are queer and are from smaller, medium-sized towns where there's not that many other queer people to date, and everybody yeah. kind of dates the same bad girl that they're just, like, no redeeming qualities, but there's no other queer people around. Yeah. So yeah, so that was like, that's who Kate is, and I like wanted to, like, so I work around that. So that's the character, and then she is going through a messy divorce with her ex-wife, who has a lot more money than her, and she, like, the kind of the crux of the divorce is that Kate got, like, super Facebook conspiracy radicalized, which is, like, you know, it's real life shit. A lot of people's marriages are falling yeah. apart because they're falling prey to conspiracy theories and stuff. So Kate's marriage hit the breaking point when Kate built this underground bunker and, like, sold her wife's car behind her back for, like, some of the supplies, and was just like, no, I did this for us, this is our doomsday prepper bunker. Right. But then she just got dumped, and so now she has to live in this underground bunker, because she wasn't making any of the money in that marriage. She works, like, seasonal retail jobs, and Maya's, like, a concert violinist and performs at, like,
oh my god,
yeah, she, like, has, like, jobs at tech conferences and stuff, like, she's like a chess tutor. Like, Maya's, like, this super badass lady. This is also a comment on a lot of really badass, amazing women I know that are just dating people that are not good enough for them, and I just like write this cool fantasy breakup scenario. So especially that happens a lot with radicalized podcasters too, is that they'll just, like, get super in their bubble, and then their wife is finally like, man, I'm leaving you, like,
I gotta go. I'm just gonna.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. So it's like, you know, it's a fake conspiracy thing. And then, you know, I start building up. Yes, I have like Kate's character is best friends with Toe Hogan, who is a thinly veiled parody of another man who will not be named. It's not necessary because people are smart. But it's like her famous podcaster friend that has like millions of followers that'll do anything he says. And he's constantly throwing out promo codes and talking about how hard it is to be a man. And but like everybody thinks that her podcast is like a spinoff of his podcast. Because it's also another comment on how many like famous podcasters, like their people that are regular guests of theirs will create their own spinoff podcasts that are like worse. I'm just like, yeah, I want to create like the fictional worst like side podcast where she like kind of doesn't know what she's doing, doesn't know how to like edit super well, but like over time starts building a fan base and shit, and also starts like selling out to sponsors. So like that's kind of like the core plot. The other person I would consider to be a principal character is that the three characters in the pilot are me, Maya, my ex-wife, who's played by Chanel Ali, who's dope stand-up comedian. She's got a special coming out on Epic soon. She's been on Comedy Central a bunch. She's been on True TV a bunch. Like she's just great. Definitely look her up. The other character is a building super that keeps mysteriously appearing in the bunker and fixing things. And I don't know how he's getting in and out. And he's like lapsing in and out of Spanish and saying a bunch of stuff about he like has international travel plans all the time. And like, I don't like, he's kind of like Tommy Wiseau from The Room. He's just very difficult to understand who he actually is and where he's coming from. Right. And there's a reveal. There's going to be a reveal for what that deal is at the end of season one. We're doing a 13 episode season. The Christmas special coming out on the 23rd is like episode 10. And then we're going to have the final three episodes of season one hitting in 2022.
Big reveal.
Big reveal. But yeah, that's who I would consider to be like the principal character of the show, or Maya, the super, and Toe Hogan. And then everyone else, there's like, it's turning into The Simpsons real fast because everybody's got funny voices and there's so many like weird subplots and like
characters, strange accents. Characters and shit. I don't know what this accent is, but it's it's an accent.
It's basically it's like The Simpsons, except I don't have like one white guy doing all of the voices.
It
was fine for a time.
To be fair, it wasn't one white guy, it was also a couple of women playing the kids too and everything. It was just like very, very feminist that we had a woman be Bart Simpson for so long.
It's true. Lots of women voice a lot of male characters. Tommy Pickles.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
That's another fun thing with this project is kind of getting to bring voice acting in its own role. Like, I like that people want to do funny voices and stuff because I know there's so many shows that they're just like casting regular actors as voice actors now. It's really doing like a voice and like. It's great to me that all of the people that I would consider like famous on this, but like Chanel doesn't do a voice, but like Nyla Shug, and then Sovereign Sire, who I would consider the other big name. She was an adult film actress for a super, super long time. Now she does stand up. She opens for Marc Maron a lot. And she's a TV writer too. But she totally did a voice. Like she did this super, she plays this phone psychic in LA that like, she's like a tarot card reader. And I basically made a character that's like the new age person that is like unbelievably fucking annoying, but also right. Like all of her predictions are right. But she's also like, the energy in here is very yang. I don't really, you know, and like her voice she does is like an octave higher than what her actual voice is. And I'm like, this is perfect. So cool. It doesn't like, I don't like, I could have the most famous person in the world on the show. If they want to do a completely insane voice that has nothing to do with them, go for it. Because like, let's bring some voice acting shit back.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
It's a lost art. Like Hollywood's just casting actors. I'm like, that doesn't have an interesting voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like I was just, I watched BoJack Horseman like a lot, like a distressing amount for how sad it is. And I,
great.
But yeah, most of those are not voice. It's just, you know, Will Arnett being himself and everybody, you know, being themselves. And, you know, it's a great show. But like the more that I do this project and direct and cast this project, I'm like, I really wish I knew who voice actors were. I like need to pay attention more to like who these people were that are just cool voice actors and not necessarily like name talent. But I'm like, it, because I realize that it does make a difference. It's a better show, like, and it's a different performance, you know, like
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end, who are some wrestlers you want on?
Ooh,
ooh, who are other wrestlers? I want Sunny Kiss. I'm not even. I definitely want Sunny Kiss. I want Eddie Kingston for sure. Eddie Kingston, I would not ask to do a voice. OBS, I named him for. Here's the it, like
is a voice.
There's a running gag in the show where we have a bunch of aliens that have like super that are under like disguised as like native New Yorkers with really thick accents. So like everybody with a really insane New York accent is eligible to like either ask me to voice act on Kate's Bunker, or I might just like immediately hire you to be an alien on Kate's Bunker. Because it's just like that. That's what episode 5 is that I'm interviewing this like alien woman living on Staten Island. And she's just like doing this like very Fran Drescher voice, but she's like, you know, I got my spaceship popped down. You know, my mom, she's on Long Island. She doesn't remember. She's not from space. She's got the dementia, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, definitely people like Eddie Kingston. Like I have a whole roster of people in my head that I want to hire as native New Yorker aliens. Like I want Taz, I want Santana Ortiz, I want Private Party. I'm like,
oh my god,
from, yeah, like if you're from New York, you can be an alien and you're a wrestler, you should be an alien on this show. Like that's not a what do you call it, but yeah, who else? God, I mean, there's just the Iconics. I mean, because they're not like, I hate that I pay attention to WWE releases and go like, oh, maybe I could get them on Cage, but I'm like, that's not how you're supposed to react to people losing their dream jobs. And you don't want to just sit there and like fantasy book them just because Vince let them go.
Right. But
at the same time.
And they're in a dark place right now.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's not the thing you want to do. But by the same token, Keith Lee needs to act on my podcast. Like,
that is an amazing voice. Mm-hmm. That man's voice needs to be on something.
You know, I definitely listen for this stuff, and I'm just like, that was my first thought when they let him go, and I was like, what? And I was like, don't post that.
It's
so hard to not post, but I was like, yo, don't like, the man just lost his dream job, and also he lost his dream job after he was everything was going so well.
Yeah.
Before he went to main roster, they made him put on a fucking shirt. Don't give Keith Lee a shirt. What are you, man, are you crazy? You don't need a shirt. You look at that boy, don't need a shirt.
You know?
Anyways, that's...
Yeah, we don't. Too much brain power.
Anyways.
In that area, don't want it.
It's too much. Mm-hmm. No, yes, Keith Lee, that voice needs to, like I said, that voice is so good. It needs to be on something.
Yes. Yeah, voice, presence, articulation, like it's just he's very himself. And then, you know, I also constantly am like, I'm having a really good time booking comedians and wrestlers to act in the same scene. Like there's the, like, you remember because you listened to the Nyla Rose's episode, the portion where I'm talking to my ex-wife and she's whispering in my ear, like that was me like doing like this, like me, Chanel and Nyla. I was like, that was me fantasy booking, like how can we get an awesome comedian and a super funny wrestler and make a scene and like make it sing. And then like the same with Shug's character, the comic that I booked with him, Madi, who's also from Atlanta. I was like, no, I was like, these guys, I think if they met in real life, they would be friends and they're gonna work really well together. And I love proving myself right about that kind of thing.
I mean,
like they had such a good time. And
when you know, you know.
Yeah, when you know, you know.
matchmaking, friendship, again, comedy, wrestling. It makes sense. We went to the Dolph Ziggler comedy in Vegas, so we understand. It was like, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does. Yeah. I never saw his stand-up. I don't know if it was good or not. Like, I know there's some comedians that are like, oh, wrestlers doing stand-up, and I'm like, I don't care.
Before we went, I was like, what are we doing again today? And she was like, we're gonna go see Dolph stand-up. It's like, oh, is he funny?
And I was like, I don't know. Yes,
of course he is.
No, I said on Twitter. I said he's funny on Twitter. I don't know.
All right. I'll take your word for it. Let's go.
But I'm always down for an experience. And it was. Mm-hmm. But it was also, he went with another comedy podcast. And it was a whole thing. There was a ring match. It was really fun, honestly.
Yeah, that's
cool. I was like, I don't know what's
going on. Comedy's supposed to be fun. That's what I sent out a thing in the press release where I was just like, PR person give a press release to a whole bunch of like random ass news outlets, and I'm really excited to see if like somebody in Nebraska is like, why did somebody send us a thing about a fake podcast? But gotta love Fiverr, right? They'll just do like whatever you ask. but. Yeah, I said in the press release that the mission statement for the show was comedians don't own comedy. Comedy is supposed to be fun, and being right about a conspiracy doesn't make you a good person. and I'm like, boom. This isn't me like fucking Scorpio burning like all of my anger about like my 13 years of stand-up.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what that doesn't sound right at all.
Weird. No.
It was way off.
Need a witty caption. I think that should be a shirt. I think if there's merch, that should be a shirt. I think that's a good idea.
Now there's we're gonna have merch soon. The network's the podcast network is like that I'm working with is super awesome queer run, but we're definitely like on the ground floor of things and like working on building this thing and getting things moving, but we'll be having merch pretty soon. Right now you can support the NQO Patreon and everything,
but
I'm open to get those sponsorship dollars soon, because that's the part that I'm getting to.
That's the goal.
Yeah,
dollar. Something. We'll hawk something. I don't care what all.
Yeah, exactly.
Boner pills.
What are those? Easy. Ball shavers? That's what they do on
podcasts. Manscaped. Yeah, Manscaped. My friend Andrea's podcast has. Yeah, no, my friend Andrea's podcast has like a Manscaped sponsorship.
Oh. Nice. If it's good enough for an AEW podcast, it's good enough for us.
That's right.
There you go. There you go, Manscaped.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Bring it.
A bed, a mattress, I don't know, I'll do whatever. Mm-hmm. That weird cereal.
Yeah,
got it.
It's been fun making jokes that, like, one of the best things about having a fake podcast is giving people fake plugs. Like when guests are coming, I'm like I had this fake animal expert character on episode 3, and then like when his character got off the mic, I'm like, oh, that was great. You know, you can follow him at like at Atticus Jonesworth on like Twitter and Instagram, and you know his book The Adventure Man is available on, you know, Audible. But I'm like, that's not real. Like,
they're not real.
Making shit real. Up. Like, I love like aggressively name checking people who don't exist. Yes. And like writing in sponsors that aren't real, and like advertising products that aren't real. Like, it's just, there's just like so much comedy opportunity in this, like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's a lot of work. I never meant the show to be this long. Like, Night Vale is like 20 minutes, and a couple of those minutes is the weather segment's a song. They have like an indie band submit a song. So it's not even a 20-minute show. And I was like, okay, if these scripts are like 20-ish pages, 25-ish pages, it'll be about the same. No, these are like 40 to 50-minute episodes. So it really just sounds like a fake podcast.
Yeah,
like really, like when legit. You get, start to forget that it's not real, you're like, oh yeah, I'm just listening to like a
you get immersed
interview podcast. Yeah,
it's true. I'm like, this is legit. I'm like, no it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Like, I'm gonna go look that up. Wait a minute, that's not real.
Wait a minute. Yeah, got me I mean, again. Usually, like, I'm interested in seeing who the first person is that's gonna get worked by this podcast because it's right? really exactly. like
exactly.
It's going to happen. I know at some point somebody's gonna think this podcast is real because things are crazy enough now that like mm-hmm. people release shit that sounds like The Onion and sounds like Kate's Bunker mm-hmm. or whatever. So like. I am fully anticipating that being a thing, but at the moment, I think as soon as like they hit the phone call portion and like we're in, you know, when I mean, like have the super wandering in and stuff, it's like, I think that Kate's believable. Like, I think it was just me and my character and like doing a solo fake podcast, I think mm-hmm. more people would think it was real, but because yeah. I have the other actors coming in and they're being like so fucking ridiculous and I'm just like making shit up like that I think is tipping most people off. I keep wondering what's gonna happen though is just like this is also being like Nuclear Order has a radio station too. So there are people that are tuning into this that like in the middle of the episode. And it's like not
they're live. Like
so I'm like wondering what those people are like how long it takes to realize it's not a real show. Like
what am I listening to? Yeah. Love it.
That's yeah, good. This especially you get things like that Aliens of Staten Island episode. For some reason, like I've gotten into multiple cars where people like had that episode on and were listening to it and they turn it on. And she's just like, oh, you know, those Monglaxians, you know, they'll cut your faces off. You know, not all these aliens are sunshines and roses, you know, I got all these alien channels, you know, that's
absurd.
Yeah. I can't believe
it. Love it.
The real thing you get to make. It's so good.
I know. It's the real thing you get to do. Fun. And again, it's cool to do something new, you know,
yes.
like
you
could have done, you know, anything like because I could have had a lot of fun doing a more standard podcast and it would have been a lot easier, but I decided to make everything hard
right.
because I wanted to do something new, you know, like
exactly.
Yeah.
it's worth it to do something new and then yeah. it worked out. It could have failed
mm-hmm. yes,
you know, but it yeah. didn't. It's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see, I'm trying to see time. So we've been on a talk for an hour, so I guess we should wrap this up, even though I love chatting with you.
Yeah.
I'll come. You guys are great. I'll come back anytime.
Yay!
Yes, please. We can mm-hmm. we can judge main roster wrestling or something.
Oh hell yeah. Yeah. No, I still love commenting on other people's work. It's fun. I just yes. also ensconced in my own work. Like, you know, I feel sad that I'm not watching AEW right now because there's so much cool stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I think the stuff that I'm watching is cooler, question mark. I don't mm-hmm. like the yeah. punkiness, and then it's also feeding into like AEW's like hiring a lot of people that I
right. yeah. exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's cool, but I yes. yeah, I should definitely watch some new stuff.
Like, there's a lot of wrestling.
There's so much talented. There's too much wrestling, basically.
Yeah, there's a lot of yeah. content. Like, so it's much. Hard to consume all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, hard.
Especially if you have to make the content, too. You know,
like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I have to make content, yeah. We just mm-hmm. talk about the content. I have to watch the content and then work a regular job. And then it's a lot.
I have to what I always tell people is that there's like, unless your job is watching wrestling, unless you have a show where you comment on wrestling or you're a journalist or something, like unless that you have to watch wrestling, there's no excuse to watch bad wrestling. There's no excuse. Right. There's too much wrestling there's to no watch reason. Bad wrestling. Yeah. Like, because even yes. like with AEW, if I have to like, I only have a limited amount of time to watch stuff, I'm like, do I want to watch this like crazy queer promotion? Or, you know, I like people like CM Punk, but I think I want to watch the crazy queer promotion. You know, I don't necessarily want to watch like a snowstorm of a guy card, even if they're all the best guys in the world. You know, I love Moxley, yeah. I love Eddie Kingston, I love Adam Cole, I love all these people, but do yeah. I always want to see 100% white guy card? No. doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that I wanted to see the new cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Like, and I'm a big believer in like, put your money where you want to see things. So like, don't keep going back to the stuff that's not giving you what you want, you know?
Yeah.
And so if you want women's wrestling, it's out there. You just have to kind of go look for it. It's not going to be on TNT, you know, all the time.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. It's only on TNT at 6:05. Pacific. 9:05. That's the one time you can see it on TNT. That's the one. That's the lady spot. That's when we watch TV.
Yeah.
That's some effect.
SMDH.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, find the wrestling you want to watch. There's so much. There's so much talent that are people of color, queer, just so much talent. And white guys, sure. And males, whatever. But so much is out there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like Eddie Kingston, like, I don't want to make blanket statements these white bro wrestlers, because like fucking Eddie Kingston and Mox are amazing, especially with the tough guy mental health advocacy bit that they've been doing. My God. Where have you been all your friends' lives? Like,
exactly.
They do like that way.
Spread this to the like, how do we get them to like make this the norm in male wrestlers? Like,
or they're trying,
or holding yourself accountable for your own mental health. I'm like, how do you like spread this to literally all of your friends? Like, please.
This is what we need. That them and Hangman is all we like. Just more of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hangman too. Like just like full force, like sad boy talking about his depression. Like Hangman's a BoJack Horseman.
Pretty much.
He's pretty and in a lot better shape. Like he's pretty and in a significantly better shape. But sometimes like they'll have him do those interview spots, and I'm just like, you're being such a BoJack right now. This is so funny.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
To my brain. Again, thank you so much. Where can we find all of your projects? You have a lot going on.
Kate's Bunker is on every podcasting platform possible, including a few you didn't even know about. I occasionally get a notification like, hey, we're on Google Podcasts now. Like, what is that? But you can find it on the normal platforms, the Apple, Spotify, RSS, all that good stuff. And on the NQO radio station. The Twitter and Instagram are at Kate's Bunker. The mockumentary projects on IWTV. It's called Brooklyn Battle Comedy. We make movies, and that's at Battle Comedy on Twitter and Insta as well. And then all of my personal stuff, which is just me promoting those projects, but then also shooting off about like my insane life, which never seems to stop. It was just like all coincidences. Like Cat Lucha Man installs a hanging bag in my basement. That's like a daily. Weird occurrence. So if you want to follow those updates, that's like Hark_it's Hannah on Twitter, Insta. And then I just got on the TikTok train. I feel like a full idiot for not doing that sooner. Everybody was right about it. I've been shooting myself in the foot with engagement, but I am now at Hark_it's Hannah on TikTok, and that's stupid videos and clips of Kate's Bunker. So
Yay. I thought I was late to the TikTok party. I did it over the summer. I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I'm too cool. I'm in my 30s. I can't do it.
Yeah. I didn't say that I was too cool. I said that I was like, I'm going to get another addiction. I have like, I'm a heinous Twitter addict, and I'm just like, this is going to be another thing.
Oh,
I'm stuck to my phone, but I now understand that it's worth it for the new audience engagement, because Twitter and Insta do not do me any favors. I, you know, suspect it's because I'm very openly pro sex work, and they tend to come down on those accounts real hard. But yeah, womp womp.
Yeah,
sue me for having beliefs.
Oh no.
Yeah. TikTok, however, don't give a fuck. Yay.
No. No.
Yes. Follow her on all of the places. Amelia, yes,
please.
Where can we find you?
Oh, you could just find me on Twitter and Instagram at Daft Pansy. That's it. I mean, I have TikTok too. And I posted one video of my cats. I have others, but I posted one video of my cats. And now I have like kids following me on TikTok. Like, oh, no. I got a follower. And it's like a 10-year-old little girl. Oh, I'm like, oh no. I can't make content now.
Oh, no.
So anyway, what about you, Elle? Where can we find you?
Well, my TikTok is not, it's just for watching tarot videos.
Hey, that's my Discord experience.
It's a lot of mantras. It's a lot of tarot.
Hey.
That's my business.
That's right.
Instagram, Al_ Yeah. Twitter, kayfabe Al. You can find the show on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the things. Twitch 2022 at kayfabe queens. And we are so happy that you joined us, Hannah, and you're amazing. And come
Thank
back anytime.
You so much.
You're so fun.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
Bye. Bye. Bye.